Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of This Week in Mormons. It's wonderful to be here with you this week. A joy to be with you.
It is so wonderful to be here. Seriously, we are so blessed. Just a little shout out.
Can you believe how many people I've talked to that think that blog is real?
Are you serious?
The Seriously So Blessed one that's obviously a scathing satire. Yes.
I've talked to a few people who think it's like hilariously funny, which I think
it's great.
Amusing from time
it's
to
not,
time.
But yeah.
I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't think it's I don't think it's ROFL funny.
Well, because I can only take it in doses, right? But
yeah,
like there's some people that read it religiously, and I'm just like, awesome.
Especially women.
Anyway, it is a humorous. It's a great satire on kind of the culture that we've created of great young housewife bloggers. Nothing against them. I'm one.
Oh, are you?
How was your week, Jeff? How you been?
I've been fine. I was trying to think beforehand if anything in particular happened this week, and nothing really comes to mind. Surely I'm missing something, but nothing's popping in my head. So, but the week was nice.
I'm wearing cufflinks.
Oh, have you finally jumped on board? I'm a cufflink wearer.
I'm not normally a cufflink wearer. In fact, it's been 3 years since I pulled out the old cufflinks.
And you feel like a real man,
I gotta say, the cufflinks, they really are. They're the new tie.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get enough of these.
I mean, you feel like a real man. What else can you do? It's beautiful.
The only downside is the sweat stains that I get on the cuffs because I can't roll them up as well. So
no,
just a
true.
Warning to all you sweaty beasts of men.
Because you're such a cuff roller.
I am. I'm a robust fellow.
Well, you know, that happens. It's okay. It is the downside. You can't roll the cuffs on cuff links. It just doesn't work. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for
your suffering.
So true.
Other than that, things are hunky-dory, I suppose. I wish I had great things. The best thing to tell is that the Phillies and the Yankees have both been eliminated and will not be going to the World Series. That alone brings me joy.
Yeah, San Francisco and Texas?
Texas. I think I'm pulling for Texas here. I love San Francisco because they're like a team of convicts. They're crazy. But and Texas is in my division, so I should hate them. But they've been playing some great ball. So it's been fun to watch.
And they've never been to the World Series.
They've never been to the World Series, and neither of these teams, therefore, has ever even won the World Series. So this is going to be good because no matter what, we're going to have a team that's winning the World Series for the first time.
I think we can give full credit to George Bush for this success. Mission accomplished.
George Bush almost ruined the Rangers.
You don't even know. He loved them.
He did
and
love
I
them.
Love
but
them.
Loving something does not
Dude,
make
they showed
one
they
talented.
Showed Nolan Ryan. Like, they panned to a shot of Nolan Ryan the other day when they were showing the Rangers winning. And Nolan Ryan looks like he's 90 years old. That man looks ancient.
Well, he's not ancient, but, you know, he's not, you know, his heyday was the 80s. So, you know, it's been a good while since his...
Well, I think he pitched into his 40s, right?
Yeah, he did.
And now he just, like, the dude looks like, the dude looks so old.
Well, I think he's done wonders for that Rangers organization. They are in the World Series, and they were in bankruptcy for the bulk of the season. So that's quite a feat.
Jeff, the recession's been hard for everyone, okay?
Yes, even the Texas
I'd appreciate
Rangers.
If we didn't have to talk about it on Sunday.
No, I'm okay. But it's but it's Monday, so this for everyone listening, so this discussion is totally okay. By the way, Halloween! By the time we come to you next, I assume Halloween will have passed. So everyone be careful out there this week. No cross-dressing or wearing masks. Be good.
Watch out! Here in our stake, we're having a murder among the mateys pirate dance with role playing involved.
Murder among the mateys.
So who's excited to not go to that? I am.
Come on, remember when we had the pirate party on that quote unquote cruise ship in the Black Sea?
I do actually remember that. And we dressed up. We were like the Sound of Music, dressed up in curtains
we took
and
all of
newspaper
our
hooks. One of those poor Slavic stewardesses, they had no idea what to do with us Americans that showed up in our drapes and newspaper hooks with hangers. And they were like, you weren't actually supposed to dress up, I don't think. And then we led the Congo train through the dining hall.
We did, and I had touchy old French women all over me. It was wonderful.
And those good Spanish old men that, like, they say hello to you with a kiss and a pat on the neck.
Oh,
I love those Spaniards.
Do you remember, oh boy, here we go jabbering again. The thing I loved is this cruise was mostly Germans and French, and they're all geriatrics. And then us, this band of youthful Americans. It made no sense. But there were 6 Spaniards on the thing. Of course, I noticed them, being my people. But I felt like they were celebrities or something. Like, I was starstruck. I didn't want to walk up to them and be like, hey, what's up? You're Spaniards. I used to live there. Hey, let's be friends. Because that's not grounds for friendship.
You couldn't talk to them for days.
No, I spent the whole time. So instead, I walk around subtly, randomly saying things in Spanish, which is great because no one else in our group even spoke it. I just say things, hoping they'd hear me, hoping they'd clue in to my Spanish abilities. I think they got the gist of it when we were watching the Ukraine-Spain World Cup game. And
you were cheering for the Spaniards?
I sat with the Spanish men and rooted for Spain. I think that's when they clued in. And it wasn't until we got off the boat in Zaporizhia that this guy's standing there and he just like talks to me. He's like, and he starts asking me in Spanish,
it's
you
like
guys
when
leaving?
You're too nervous to go up to the hot girl and you're
it
like,
kind of was
you walk right by and you're like, well, I mean, when I was at that Museum of Modern Art and I made the comment that actually got published in the Boston Globe.
Yeah, it was like that. It was, there were only 6 of them. I didn't want to be like, ooh, you're Spaniards, so you're totally gonna care that I care that you're Spaniards. I don't know, it just seemed weird to me to, but it was,
oh,
also,
oh man, all this time in the gym sure makes me sore. Woo!
So anyway, at the end, finally, I made friends with my Spanish friends, but I did waste an entire multi-day journey in the Black
Sea and
you're
happy
River.
Now you found true love,
and true love never dies.
It really never does.
True love conquers.
It never
all.
Does. Well, so
anyway,
yeah.
That's all. So sorry for the aside.
Murder among the mateys and the Spaniards is what it'll be.
Sounds like you're going to have an eventful week. I think I'm going to be the Gorton's fisherman for Halloween.
I always want to go as like a James E. Faust or something and just slick the hair over and wear a suit. Just be like, don't mess with me.
If we still had our old bishop, I was tempted to dress up as Bishop Mitchell.
I think I'm going to resurrect the Lionel Richie shirt and canary yellow pants and white temple shoes and bring them out and about
by
again.
By Lionel Richie shirt, do you mean the rain shirt, the blue one with the things on
yes.
it? Is that
yes.
Why is that Lionel Richie?
Because he's the only man who I've ever seen wear something comparable.
Okay, I don't know that I'm.
And I've
here.
Watched So You Think You Can Dance. I mean, nobody can pull a shirt off like that, like
You're,
Lionel Richie.
Lionel, there's a reason why on one of our shows I used Lionel Richie for both the intro and outro music.
And what is that reason?
The man is a visionary, is really all there. I don't know.
He sees things. He's a seer.
Yeah, that's why. I love him so. Well, I'm glad you've had a wonderful time. We've got an exciting show this week, I believe. So many things have happened, and I would be remiss to not mention them. So, anyways, temples all over the place, new letters from the first presidency.
No more Mormon bachelorette.
We're done mentioning them. It's over.
Finally?
It's been over. We're done mentioning them. Right? Good. Was it? Good. Oh, yeah, we talked about it last week, didn't we? Yeah, anyway, it's fine. Yay for them. Woo! Good times all around, good entertainment. So a lot of things are going on.
Great times, I'd say.
And we are here to be your source of news and analysis and inspiration.
And love. When you need a friend, you come to us.
Just call my name.
Oh, you know what we should do, too? We should go through the comments on the blog.
Oh, yeah, we keep saying we're going to do that. Okay, we'll see how time it. Well, let's get through our stuff and we'll see how time it goes.
All right, let's go.
Please, take us there. You have the first one, actually.
Oh, that's right. So this week, I don't know. I have a couple of feeds for real-time Mormon news stuff, and one that made the rounds that was kind of cool was a big SEO conference this last week in Chicago, And the head keynote speaker guy, actually can I interrupt? Even pronounce his name. He's yes.
You might please SEO. You might need to explain that.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. So you in mean the search, geek search, world that I live in day in and day out, there are other geeks who are geekier than some and geekiest for most, and they have plus 20 t-shirts that give them more defense. No, I'm just kidding. So there's SEO is search engine optimization. So if you have a website or a store online or a blog and you want people to find it through the search engine, you want to optimize it for the search engine. So there's this whole strategy, a huge industry around getting your page found by search engines. And it's called SEO, so short for search engine optimization. And so they have this big conference where people go and talk about best practices. If Google changes an algorithm, it's huge news. So a bunch of stuff that most people don't even think about. And us geeks, we geek out on it, and we love it.
Yeah.
So the keynote speaker uses the Mormon Church as the prime example of good SEO. Because, and we'll play the video. Well, I don't even know if we'll play the video. Maybe we'll, maybe we won't. It'll be up to Jeff.
There's like a minute and a half clip of him. Might as well.
Should we play it right now, and then I can kind of explain what he says?
Are we doing it right now?
Let's go to the video.
You seem so lost. I don't understand what's going on. Oh, yeah, this is what, Avinash Kaushik?
All right, so we'll go ahead and watch this. But essentially, he points out that the Mormon Church just does SEO. Like, it's the prime example of SEO because they come up, number one, when you type in church in Google. Yep. And so we'll just do a snippet of it here.
Here, it's about a minute and a half or so. Here we go.
The Mormon Church knows SEO?
Yeah, no, I was... I love using tag clouds to visualize tons and tons of keywords, thousands and thousands of keywords. And so I was looking for many different examples to show that. And so, of course, I showed my own blog's tag cloud so you can understand if you have the right balance between brand and category terms. Is there diversity in your category terms so you can attract a lot of people who don't know your brand, things like that. And so I used Chase Bank as an example, BlackBerry as an example, and thought, what could be a sort of off-the-normal example? And so I searched for the word church, and the LDS Church ranks number one on Google for the word church. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go to compete and get their data and create this tag cloud. And I was so surprised that they have done a marvelous job, as you reflect on their tag cloud, of doing great SEO. I think that it is, especially if you understand something about the church, you'll start to see that the words that they were trying to get people to associate with them are actually highlighted bigger, and the words they're trying not are highlighted smaller. So again, it wasn't about sort of endorsing one religion or another. It was just that we could learn from the SEO work that the LDS Church has done. And because you could see that LDS has done a great job, but some of our examples I used of real companies actually stink at this thing. So it was just a way to motivate people to do more.
Okay, cool. So again, he talks about the tag cloud, right? And so what he did is he went and pulled every word that's mentioned on the church website, and he put it into a tag cloud like Jeff did with General Conference a while ago, last week, I think, maybe the week before. But he goes and pulls all that in, and the words that are really big and prominent are the words that search engines see this page is about. So if I mention quilting a bunch, then obviously this page is about quilting. If I mention fabric a bunch, if I mention jet skiing a bunch, it's going to be about that, right? And so the church, what they mentioned a lot was church. Jesus Christ, Savior, and then like principles of the gospel, so faith, repentance, prayer, things like that. And so those were like their big main keywords that they tried to do. And so you kind of notice as you surf around that a lot of the messages, the blurbs, the copy that the church places all over its site that search engines can go in and read are very, I don't know, it's pretty strategic. And it's kind of cool. I wonder if this is the same group that mentioned or that kind of took us from the old like church logo that was like the eight tier, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to the great big Jesus Christ with the Church of on top and Latter-day Saints below. Kind of that same strategy of let's put more focus on who we are and who we want to be identified as and really kind of rise to the top to that. So props for the church for being good, kind of embracing technology. I think M. Russell Ballard would be proud.
Bravo. Yeah, I think they, I mean, we've talked about the things along these lines many times before, but the church has really taken great leaps to become more technologically, I don't want to say advanced, but tech savvy, tech oriented in recent times. And the fact that you can create a tag cloud based on these things, the fact that the church comes up first, and it's true, if you type in church, the very first thing that pops up, well, I think it's the second thing, the first one's something else, but where is it? Yes, church, Wikipedia, I guess the first entry, and then the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We beat the Catholic Encyclopedia and Church's Chicken.
Who doesn't love any number of things?
Church's Chicken has original and spicy fried chicken with honey butter sauce. Who doesn't love that?
Oh.
Anyway, I think it's great. I love seeing this. I love that for a long time. You know, because this is even until relatively recently, times when I was on my mission, it felt like the church was really lagging when it came to technology. Even on simple things, like you'd sit there and think, what is taking so long to make DVDs of stuff? They were still releasing right. videos of things. And it wasn't until the end, I think, when it wasn't. It's kind of like with the Finding Faith in Christ era. It seems like that's when a lot of this all started.
No, that's true, eh?
Setting things in motion. Finding Faith in Christ was a DVD. It was almost like a viral DVD, if you can say that, but that was the idea. And then the Christmas one that was related to that. And then from there on, the church has been restructuring, reorganizing things, and trying to be far more efficient and reap more benefits from its tech stuff. And like I told you about the LA Temple Visitor Center, cool tech stuff that they're doing. Really neat. Neat that they let you find videos of actual members of the church, email them to people, put them on your flash drive if you want to keep them, all sorts of things. I think it's this new era for I think technology in the church and trying to create more of a big umbrella for the church, big tent, you know.
I say bravo, they're making good progress,
they've done great stuff, so we just kind of wanted to kind of tip our hat.
Well, and it's cool, like it's just great when we're recognized for and did you notice that he used the right name of the church? I mean, it's just cool to be recognized in a very, you know, in a positive light for doing something well like that, because we don't get that much of that. Not a lot of people point to us as shining examples of doing things right. Normally it's criticisms of
And I appreciate that he seemed to give a very unbiased review of that. You know, he said, I'm not endorsing your religion, this is just, hey, I was looking for some sort of
and
organization
they did a great
that, effective,
job.
That effectively yep. does this, and they perfectly illustrate that, and that's great. So
absolutely.
Good for them. All right, let's move to some temple news, shall we?
Let's do it.
It was sort of under the radar until they finally put out the press release yesterday, but the ground for the Rome, Italy temple has broken. I didn't think we were this far along in the preparation process to build the temple there, but the ground has broken on the temple. Big old deal. The church is, they're going all out, it seems, for this.
It's kind of cool to see, man, because Italy is, like, Western Europe is one of those places that's just has not had a whole lot going for it.
But look what we're getting, man. Rome's getting a temple. They just announced one for Lisbon. So the Mediterranean is, like, you know, it's getting serviced finally. This is great. Madrid will not be the lone temple for the whole region as time goes on. So this is great. The Rome Italy temple ground is broken. And that's wonderful. But what I really want to point out here, well, there's a few things. One, the temple design is carrying forward with this new dual spire thing that they're doing again. That we've seen in Kansas City, Brigham City. I don't know if there are any other newer ones coming up that are following that design off the top of my head. But if you've seen these designs, it's very evocative of, you know, like a modern Manti or Logan, you know, a long temple with spires at each end, one spire on one end longer, of course, with the Moroni on top. But the design is very modern, and it also follows a bit of an oval contoury shape, which is a bit different from what we've built as of late, because most of the temples lately have been very geometric and follow plenty of right angles for the most part. So to have anything
is just box on box on box.
Yeah, and so this one, a lot of long curves, essentially a truncated oval, just, you know, chopped off at each end for the towers. So that's cool. And the other thing is the church is going to town here. They are not only building the temple. They are building an entire complex in Italy. This is hardcore. They're building the temple, which is about 40,000 square feet. A new stake center, which is common. But then they're also building a visitor center, which will have a full-size Christus statue. I don't even know when the last time was that they built a visitor center with a, you know, with the big Christus statue. It's been a long time since I've seen one of those put in. So they're putting that in.
I wonder where it is location-wise, like, because That's got to be a great tourist. Like, if they could work in the kind of the tourist round.
Yeah, totally. Like, let's find out. I'm looking at the plot of land here. It looks like it is next to, I mean, I don't know Rome at all, but there's an A90, sort of a ring road that surrounds metropolitan Rome. And it looks like it is right next to that, to the northeast of the bulk of the city.
Oh, like a dream.
Like a dream. I don't know if it's serviced by metro or anything like that. Who knows? But
I'm sure it is.
Really cool. But all this stuff, the visitor center, so that's a big deal, a full-out visitor center. We hardly even build those anymore. And you know, family history center, patron housing facility. They're going. Do they even have housing at the Kiev Temple?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. So,
but it's because they service like 15 countries.
So. Yeah, exactly. So great news for Rome. I had no idea. I think it's funny that the church seems to kind of play, it's not like cat and mouse or anything like that, but they nowadays it's like this game waiting to even know what the temple's going to look like, and then they don't unveil it until the groundbreaking.
Oh, dude, they like, totally, like, they got a great marketing department.
It's like, hey, surprise, here it is. You had no idea what we had in store for you. And
in our small town, when we do something big in the shop, right, we'll put up plastic over the windows and just leave it that way over a weekend. And man, the town gets talking. Everything's a buzz. They're sure something's going on. People are trying to like poke in and sneak in the doors and stuff. And so like it's the oldest trick in the book, marketing wise. I mean, you just cut off the information and make everybody wait, and the anticipation builds, and people get curious. They want to know. And so this is totally true.
So
this is great. This is great for Western Europe. Congratulations.
Yeah. I wonder what the district will be. I have no idea what it will entail. It's just funny because now with all these temples going up in Europe, I mean, the Kiev temple eats into some of the Balkans, and then I imagine the Rome one is going to take, you know, all of Italy and Malta and probably the Adriatic coast, I would guess, maybe like Croatia and Slovenia, places like that. I don't know.
Really? What is Malta doing, though?
I'm sure we have tons of members in Malta. I think they dissolved. It's part of one of the Italian missions.
With their
in the
beautiful
south.
Bushy eyebrows.
Oh, we love the. You know, I have a special affinity for the Maltese, though.
I do too. My favorite missionary companion on the mission was actually Maltese.
Oh, really? Out of like the 400,000 people in all of Malta, we actually have
no, like of Maltese descent. So his dad was full.
Or was
Maltese.
He American ethnic
but like,
Maltese?
Cool guy. And so I've always been curious about Malta as well. So
it's
nothing
a wonderful
bad
country.
Against they, them, they're just hilarious people.
Did you know the Maltese language is only one of four non-Indo-European languages within the European Union? It's
I did not know.
It
How
is
do you
true.
Say hello in Maltese, Dave?
I have no idea. It's probably close. I understand that Maltese is actually very close to Tunisian Arabic, but it has a lot of loan words from Italian. So.
Dave's my missionary buddy. That's Maltese. I called you Dave. I'm sorry. All this talk of Malta.
All this talk of Malta. And for those who are curious, because I know you are, the other three languages are Hungarian, Finnish, and Estonian.
You
Thank
dork.
You. Thank you.
You're such a nationalist lover.
I am, and I love Estonia because they hate Russia.
So speaking of temples, Laie gets its own temple back. It's been closed for going on 2 years now.
A while now, yeah.
And I think the dedication is actually this weekend.
Is the rededication this soon?
Well, the open house is going right now. So the dedication,
dedication is not until the 21st of November.
That's what I meant. Okay, yeah. So the open house just started. I know I'm seeing all this stuff go around on Facebook and pictures and stuff go around. So, anyway, essentially looking at pictures, it looks almost the exact same. The baptistry, which was in dire need of an upgrade,
yes,
finally got upgraded. The temple is just like they were still showing.
Oh, they really did change
cinder
a lot,
block,
though,
right?
They?
Yeah. And so like the upgrade is just kind of modernized it a little bit, polished over a lot of that stuff that maybe they didn't have time for back in the day or do. But the layout and everything looks pretty much the exact same as it was. I'm looking through all this. I don't see anything really new, but more like a refresher.
Well, I think that's what it's always been intended to be. What I wonder is how they are doing all that with the annex, like, you know, if they're making a different use of any of the space. That's what I wonder.
Well, but they talked about it being just kind of dramatically revised, right? And I don't think it is. I don't think it's like anything major has changed. But it's cool to look at all the pictures and see all the stuff come in, because I worked at that temple all going through college, and so it's like very, very... intimate emotions with that building. I have fond memories of it. Anyway, congratulations to the Hawaii Saints. I feel like I'm congratulating everybody. But Hawaii's great. So now Hawaii has, what do they have? They have Kona, Maui.
Just Kona. No, there's no temple in Maui.
Yeah, there is, isn't there?
No. I think it's just Laie and Kona are the only two temples.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I'm anxious to see how it is. I remember I've been there and I think I've done one session in the Laie temple, and it just cracked me up. First off, I wondered how on earth it was organized before they put the annexes on it. Because I just couldn't imagine how they used the space before that. Because unlike any temple I've been in, I mean, the baptistry, I think, there is on the first floor, right? There's no basement, if I recall. And you have to walk, more like wiggle, shimmy past it to get to the staircases around it to go upstairs to go to the ordinance rooms. And the entire session kind of tightly winds around the structure of the building, and really all this stuff was just tucked into all these weird corners and this and that. It was pretty interesting. So
yeah, well, they have three ordinance rooms there, and it was a tight fit, man, especially when they would get busy. And like tourist wise I mean, they'd get slammed pretty hard during the summer. During the tourist seasons, they had a lot of people that would show up, and so hopefully this lets the flow go a little bit easier. And they were I got an email from one of my old buddies that's doing tours out there, and he's saying that the attendance to the open house is like 60-40 member to non-member. So there's a lot of the community that's coming out to see it. I'm kind of a renewed interest. I think that's you know, it speaks to kind of the shift in over time. When it was dedicated initially, obviously in 1905, the North Shore was almost completely Mormon, because it was more of a desert, right? Like, no one really wanted the North Shore, and so it was this outcast land that they practically gave to the church. The church owns thousands of acres up there because they got it for almost nothing. It was a refugee area. And and so now, you know, as time's gone by, there's quite a bit of like Adam Sandler has a house on the North Shore now, and Jack Johnson. And,
oh, well, that's all the reason to be there. Hello.
It's a very popular place now. And so with that,
I love Jack Johnson.
Opening the temple again for an open house is a cool bit. Gets people back out seeing it.
Now, you know this better than I do, because obviously closing a temple is an inconvenience, and they tend to do it nowadays when another one is somewhere sort of in the vicinity for the saints to use.
Right.
But in Hawaii's case, the other one's on Kona, on the Big Island.
Yeah, they would do more temple trips to Kona.
Yeah, exactly. How much of a pain is that compared? Well,
it's like a $120 flight, a $70 flight if you get it on sale. But it's not so bad, because you can drive an hour and then take a 30-minute flight and then drive 30 minutes from the airport in Hawaii and you get to the temple. So it's a two-hour commute each way. I mean, so it's not so bad. It's just pricey, right? So for a bunch of students.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, you can't. It's not the same as, I don't know.
Well, particularly because living in Laie, it's like a half a minute walk, right? You pass it every day. And so it's so convenient. And, I mean, the grounds and stuff. It's just a great place to go and spend time. And so to close that up, and they've had the significant thing is the lights have been off for like a year and a half while they've been doing this stuff. And I remember when I was there, we had a tsunami warning, and the big earthquake happened, and the power goes out on the entire island for 3 days. And so we were just kind of all living the island life, but it was so weird for the temple. When it would get dark, it would just be black up there, right? And so you walk by this place that's normally super bright, and it's just this beacon on the hill that you're so accustomed to seeing. And all of a sudden to be walking by that thing and have it be black. I mean, it was eerie. It was just kind of nerve wracking to have that. It's like, give me back those lights. I need my comfort.
And it's coming back for you.
It's true. As opposed to when I first moved out there and it would shine into my window. And it was kind of a nuisance.
So congrats to the temple.
Congratulations, Hawaii.
Aloha. I want to get in on this. Aloha Nui Loa. Congratulatory vibe that you're instilling.
Wait, what do you want to do?
So, yeah.
What do you want to do?
You're congratulating everybody, so I just want in. Okay. I want to do the same. I want to be like you.
I want to be like you.
I want to be like Mike.
All right, cool. Oh, so I have a I have another one, actually.
Oh.
Pardon me. I have another great story for you.
Oh, yes, you do.
So today in church, we got a letter read to us from the First Presidency. Yes. Okay. I know you were in state conference.
We had state conference, so this is all news to me.
But we got a letter read to us, and the gist of it was a lot of you members are sending mail to church authorities and church headquarters and calling church authorities and church headquarters for clarification on doctrinal issues or with complaints about local leaders. We as the church presidency have, you know, we've delegated the responsibility for discerning and working through these matters to the local authorities. So please work with them. And then if you and your stake president are working through a doctrinal issue and he deems it necessary, or you're not getting a satisfactory answer, he can petition the church headquarters or, you know, the church presidency on your behalf and write a letter in that'll be considered and replied to. But any letter that's sent to church headquarters now will be deferred back to your local leaders.
No more writing church headquarters, friends.
Which I've never written church headquarters anyway.
Yeah, me neither.
But I don't know. Like, I actually think that there's enough local leadership in place that anybody should be able to find solace in that. You know, like, even if you have a problem with your bishop and you don't like your stake president and you feel like you're getting slighted on something, you can go, like, an area authority is within 2 hours of almost everywhere.
Sure.
And so, you know, you have somebody that you can go to. And if all three of those guys are giving you the shaft, chances are it's probably not the church that has the problem. It's probably you.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Generally speaking, I feel that could be true.
And for the most part, like, they put a lot of emphasis on you and your local leader should work together through this, you know, pray about issues and kind of work on them and mull over them for a time. But really, you know, like, it painted a picture of your bishop and stake president being anxiously engaged in helping you come to answers and resolution with maybe doctrinal questions you may have or issues you have with the church or anything like that. So, I don't know, kind of an interesting, again, it's a scalability issue, right? It's the church just, they can't handle the volume. And so they have to do something like this, but still a little bit interesting to see the hard line being drawn.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have to say to that.
Mm-hmm. But in the searching of this, Jeff, you found another letter. Did you not?
I did. Well, the funny thing was, apparently your letter today, unless they didn't mention this or something, but from what I found, this was a two-parter that the letter discussed. This, don't write Salt Lake, and second, that church members were warned about attending self-awareness groups. Where spiritual doctrine could be questioned. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. You know, just, you know, self-awareness, you know. Now, what's funny about this is I was thinking, I kind of got what they meant by self-awareness, but I wanted to fully understand. So in searching for self-awareness, something else comes up here from the church, from a First Presidency letter to be read from 2001. And it's funny, this is very similar. It talks about, heck, I can just read this. It's pretty quick. First Presidency has directed the following letter be read. It has come to our attention that some commercial enterprises promising heightened self-esteem, improved family relationships, increased spirituality, and the like by participating in their programs are implying church endorsement. Such claims are untrue and unfounded. Church does not endorse such an enterprise. Neither should the church's failure to formally challenge any such enterprise be a problem. But the point is, church members should not participate in groups that, 1, challenge religious and moral values or advocate unwarranted confrontation with spouse or family members as a means of reaching one's potential.
Are you thinking of the AE reality shows?
I'm not quite sure here. Number two is imitate sacred rites or ceremonies. We're looking at you, Masons. Number three, foster physical contact.
Really?
It says that in this letter from 01. I can't. The first thing that pops in my mind,
I know a lot of Mormons that are Masons.
I mean, think about it. If it says don't be in a group that has sacred rites or ceremonies, isn't the first thing that,
like,
pops in your mind?
How far
Masons?
Do you go with that? Like, do you go to Order of the Arrow and Boy Scouts? I mean,
that's true. Good point. I don't know. Or is it actually saying it's a group that imitates sacred rites? Like, if it's trying to be an imitation of temple ordinances, I'm not
like
quite sure. It is fuzzy.
Like a big love.
Sure, like a big love. Number three is kind of funny. Foster physical contact among participants. So if you hang out with anything.
This sounds like just a kooky psychiatrist group to that they put together people. Where they're like, all right, yell it out. Yell it out. All right, now we're going to hug it out. Bring it together now.
Are you, like,
no,
are
don't
you,
do that.
Are you ready for number four?
Yeah.
Meet late in the evening or in the early morning hours.
Dude, that's my Steak and Shake homework group, straight up. There you
go. Other ones, don't disclose personal information. Cause a husband and wife to be paired with other parties. That sounds like swingers groups is the best thing I can think of for that. definitely frowned upon, I would think, for all sorts of...
We're looking at you, Utah.
Utah, no more swinging, okay? But it's funny, they say don't be involved in organizations offering experiential or empowerment training. So this is from 01, but since that's the best thing I could find to support... any sort of letter to self-awareness.
That actually, well, it speaks to a big issue where there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of money being made in the, you know, in the like self-affirmation circuits and the yes you can, you know, buy my show and my drink and you're gonna be golden after this, kind of, well, and even like the pyramid schemes of. You know, like the multi-level marketing stuff that goes around where all of that is, you know, so you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to have a better life? Do you want to have a better life, a worse life, or stay the same?
Yeah.
You know, like what do you want to, and it's like, I want a better life. I want to do the, okay. And they're like, now buy our products and you're golden. If you just get 10 people.
Did you watch The Office this week?
I did, actually. That's what I got.
That's why I'm like, where are you getting this from? Do you want a better life, or do you want to stay the same? Yeah.
But that speaks exactly to that of just like, be wary about this stuff. I mean, I think there's such a sentiment in the church as a whole of like, you want to be successful, right? People want to be successful, and so we fall prey to these pitches of, you know, you can get rich quick or have all your stuff covered if you just do this, and this, and it's, you know, it's not prudent, and it's not providential. It's you've got to look for things that have real substance to them and not invest your money and your time and your resources and put your family through things like this is warning us about. So I actually think that's a great letter. I was not aware of that at all.
Maybe you slept through the second.
It came part. Out actually it came out while we were on our missions, didn't it?
Ish.
Maybe that's why we missed it.
And there have been a lot of letters read from the pulpit that I
there has been a number. It's hard to keep track.
Well, sometimes it is, and especially when you're in California, when every other letter in the past couple of years has been about gay marriage, you kind of like tune out the other ones. You don't remember them. So
no,
we'll see.
Jeff.
We'll see if next week in my regular meetings, if they read this letter now. I'm surprised they didn't just read it today during state conference anyway, you know. But considering many saints feel that state conference is a Sunday off, perhaps they wanted to wait.
Those monsters.
Everyone was there. So let's talk about bigotry. What do you say?
I love this story. It makes me really, really irritated.
Me too. Totally jacked up. Headline reads, North Carolina church bars Mormon couple from serving as Cub Scout leaders. So I'm assuming it's a Mormon family that must not live in an area that has enough members to have an actual Mormon scout troop, I would assume.
Or they're just trying to be part of society and participate in their local culture.
Yeah, so this is a Presbyterian church that sponsors this scout organization. And these people are named Jeremy and Jody Stokes. And they made them Cub Scout leaders until they discovered that they were LDS, at which point they told them to step down because their church didn't consider them Christians. But then they told them that their sons can remain in the troop. And I love the quote from the mom. I can't believe you have the audacity to say you can't be leaders, but we want your boys. Do you really think I'd let my boys go there now? Good point. Because I would not, if I were being kicked out because I were LDS, why would I have my kids keep going there? So they can indoctrinate them accordingly, and so they can subvert me later in life. Who knows? But, yeah, that's the gist of it. And it's just it's pretty jacked up, dude. They're in a scout troop. We're trying to play nice. And they said, you're not real Christians, so you can't be it. Please, give me your rage.
The Boy Scouts as a whole have recognized for a long time that the LDS Church, I mean, we very closely emulate the values that the Boy Scouts promote of like preparedness and you know, thriftiness. Look at DI. That's the epitome of thriftiness, reverence, bravery, cheerfulness, cleanliness next to godliness. I mean, this is, you practically, it's the Mormons of America as much as it's the Boy Scouts of America. I mean, we're speaking right to it. But so the Boy Scouts have long kind of paraded the Mormon Church as the leader, or as the I guess the pioneer that pushes the Boy Scout motto forward, right? And they've even recognized that without the Mormon Church, without the support of the Mormon Church, I mean the membership drops like by like 60-70% if the Mormon Church removes their endorsement of it, right? And so there's a lot of the support for Boy Scouts comes from the LDS or from LDS. And so I mean it just speaks to, oh my gosh, it just really gets me irritated, gets my skin crawling when I read over this, and they, you know, they just write, they come out and say, we don't want you, you know, we don't think that you can take our kids camping because of, you know, your religious opinions, and it's around something that's completely false, because we don't think you're Christian.
Well, that's,
we think
a whole
you belong
other...
to the Church of Jesus Christ, and that's not good enough for you.
Well, that's a whole other, yeah, but they don't look at it as the name only. People think that because we believe in the Book of Mormon, et cetera, you know, because we believe in Mormon,
another
Bible,
testament of Jesus Christ?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, because we don't, because, did I just say we don't believe in the Bible?
It's just closed-mindedness is all it is. It's like, I don't know, yeah, that's just, oh.
Well,
just,
yeah, these are people who have been inculcated with bigotry, well, not bigotry, but with their very, very narrow-minded view of Christianity from a very young age, and it's based on the knowledge of man. It's not based on, you know, we don't believe our church is based on the knowledge of man. It's based on the knowledge of God.
I mean, our Boy Scout troop, because we were in a kind of a rural area, we were combined with the local congregations, and we'd all, you know, we'd all go camping together, we'd hang out together, we'd do stuff together, and it was encouraged because it's, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's removing prejudices, particularly for young kids. I mean, the more you get that interaction, the better off they're going to be. You want them to have exposure to other cultures, other beliefs. You know, it's a great idea to like let them intermingle. And for these guys to be like, no, you can't play with the black kid. That doesn't work. Just stupid.
It's jacked up. And of course, the comments are also amusing. And there's a good point, of course. This is a Presbyterian church. This isn't Boy Scouts itself. Making this, and of course we have the people who do dislike the church's stance on gay marriage and the church's support of Boy Scouts, as Boy Scouts prohibited gay people from participating, saying that, you know, like, where's the irony here? You won't allow certain people to participate in Boy Scouts, and now they won't allow the Mormons to be in Boy Scouts, blah 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 blah. But pretty messed up.
Yeah, anyway,
it upsets me. So write your local senator or congressman, make this better. That's what I have to
write,
say
your
to all
local
of you.
Senator.
Write your congressman. Fix this, North Carolina. That's all. You can continue.
Well, and yeah. So that's about it for this week. We do want to mention the LDS, an LDS chapel in New Zealand had their steeple knocked over by wind.
Woo!
I don't really know why we want to mention that, but
because our heart goes out to them losing their steeple.
I actually thought that I think I misread the news story, but anyway, sorry. Temple, or not temple, church, chapel.
What do you think
you
misread? What do you think you misread? It lost its steeple. It's sad.
I thought that they really did open the open the roof, and there were all the people. After they, here's the church, and here's the steeple.
What the heck are you talking about?
Didn't you ever do that in church where you put the hands together? And you'd be the church, the steeple. Open the doors, look at the people.
I'm on board now. I understand.
Anyway. Yep.
So,
that stinks.
Quick shout out. We mentioned some comments. Let's start with Faye, F-E-I, I want to say. Comment a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this one. We wanted to give you credit, should you be listening. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the church normalizing relations in China. You might remember.
Yeah.
And she was kind enough to clarify a lot more about this, having been living in China for a while. Because we were confused, wondering, what does this actually mean? That the church, because it said the members can meet in better accordance with Chinese law. It was clearly not, you know, the doors opening for the gospel
right
in China. So she said that if you're a foreign national in China, you are free to meet however you want and worship as you please. But you can't proselytize or anything like that, of course. But Chinese members, Chinese nationals in the country can meet together, but they can only share the gospel with immediate family members, apparently. And as you might imagine, most
they can't even respond to questions, right?
I guess not. And most of these, of course, joined the church if they lived over in Hong Kong or Macau or somewhere like that, where we actually have missionaries. And she also says, interestingly, that the expat members and local members don't have any interaction with one another. but the relation, like, it's like they're kept apart, they're segregated. She says the relations did progress to a point where they were finally allowed to meet in the same building, which is interesting, and that there are actually a good number of members in Beijing and Shanghai. And we also made mention, of course, of, did we talk about how people Skype in when they're remote in China for meetings?
Yep.
So yeah, and I've heard that my friend's out there in Wudong right now, and she Skypes in for church every Sunday, and you Skype on in and do it via conferencing. I think that's such a neat idea.
It was a well thought out comment. So
yeah, and what a neat idea for the church in general in remote areas where there is remote membership to be able to say, hey, you know, we don't have a unit there and you're on your own, but you can Skype in somehow and we'll have you somehow tapped in.
Thank you, Estonia.
So you can be a part of a meeting. I think that's great. So that was a great comment. I think we could talk about whenever other ones later on, but that was a terrific comment. Really appreciated it. It was very informative. That's all I have to say about that.
Other comments. We've had Rich a couple of times. Rocketed. Love that guy. I think we should have a mix and mingle with the Mormon Bachelorettes and Rich.
And Rich?
We could just all hang out and talk about the good old days.
Yes. I think they're very different people. It'll be awesome. I love me some Rich. We love Rich.
And then there was some Natasha. Natasha recommended we both move to Alberta instead of Salt Lake.
I don't see how that'll make
that
it
was
better.
That was in this on this last episode.
Was this our
sure,
last
one? Sure, Natasha. I hear Alberta is tremendous, and who doesn't love a Calgary Stampede? Also,
this
Jeff
guy
was criticized, saying that the typical service for a bishop is 5 years, while a stake president is 9 to 10 years. So don't be too let down that your bishop's getting a well-deserved break.
Yeah, I just saw this was 5 hours ago. Who are you? What is this, Tim?
Hey, I love Tim.
Of course, yeah, I know you do because he makes fun of me. I know the typical business, the typical service period is 5 years for a bishop, and mine did 4.5. But I would have still enjoyed an extra 6 months. There's nothing wrong with that.
Listen, quit your complaining, Jeff. That's what me and Tim are saying.
I'm not complaining. I'm
also,
I know the church
cool
functions
from,
how it functions.
Sydney Jensen, you. Who we both know and love.
Ah, yes.
She actually mentioned a link that was an interesting read on the kind of the gay Mormon or the gay's reaction to President Packer's comments. So this guy he runs a blog called Gay Mormon Guy. And he gave his response, which was fairly, you know, pretty thoughtful and level-headed. So if you want to read that, it's in the comments as well of episode 36. Anyway, lots of good stuff. We appreciate everybody commenting. We're trying to make sure that we get in there and give you some replies as we can.
Yeah, because you take time to talk to us, so we want to definitely make sure we take the time to respond.
Keep them coming. It's fun to see what everybody's up to.
Great comments. I like the regulars. We've got we've got good regulars-ish, right?
Absolutely.
Sydney comments decently. Rich gives us comments. Tim apparently loves us.
And we love them.
I think Tim loves
them.
You.
I talked to somebody today that didn't realize we were a podcast. They just thought that we were a blurb news source for weekly Mormon news. And
we just write up
a blog post of funny news bits.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
So there is a show, turns out.
There's a show. Tell your friends, please.
All right.
If you ever want
to
make money from this, tell your friends. That's all. All right, time to go, I think. Good full show. Good times.
All right, everybody. Have a happy and safe Halloween. Don't eat the Rice Krispie treats that are wrapped in foil.
Don't eat anything unless it comes pre-wrapped. And if you find a syringe in your Pepsi can, don't drink it.
Or spit it all back into the Pepsi can if you already have drank it.
And then sue Pepsi. And make your fortune and then say Jeff sent you and then give me a cut. I think we can find a happy medium here. It'll be good.
Help us. Help you.
That's going to be all. All right, sir. You have a good day. You have a good week. Time. Good times. Blah, blah, blah.
And you do the same with all of those things you just mentioned.
I shall. All
right. See you later.
Bye, Al. Everybody, thanks for listening. Twim, this was Twim. Twitter is what I wanted to say, I think. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. Download our stuff. Tell your friends. It's been a good week. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. As always, and this has been another edition of This Week in Mormons. Bye-bye.
should.